Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. Tonight, we will have Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince. We will be discussing Portal Combat. We'll give you an April 14th update. Stay tuned.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Have you ever tried to buy gold and silver and felt like you were talking to a used car salesman? That's because the precious metals industry is like the Wild West. Salesmen can say pretty much anything or make any promise they want without repercussion. But Genesis Gold Group is different. They're a faith-driven Christian precious metals company and believe in educating their customers, not pressuring them for a quick sale. Genesis Gold Group focuses on customer service, not sleazy marketing. Genesis Gold Group is named after the first book of the Bible for a reason. Proper stewardship of wealth is their specialty. Find out why they've earned a 5 out of 5 rating through the Better Business Bureau and how they can help you secure your wealth or retirement through physical precious metals. Call right now to learn more.
800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. That's 800-238-3714.
Well, here we are, folks. It's Mike Kegley with Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince. We are talking Portal Combat. We're going to give you a April 14th update. We're going to try to do these as the news permits. And there was a lot of things going on this weekend in general. Brad, before we start with Illini-centric news, why don't we talk a little bit about the craziness of the portal and the things that are going on, because you and Ked kind of have a unique perspective on this. As you know, kids who are in the pool, you know, coaches who are trying to swim in the pool to get those kids, and you're probably hearing a ton of crazy stuff.
It is. I think it gets wilder every year. The money that's being thrown around, the numbers. I mean, we've talked a lot about AJ Store and demands, but, you know, Omar Ballo from Arizona looking at possibly getting over $1 million in Indiana. You've got guys that, you know, Louisville has a huge bag. Arkansas, Kentucky is going to help their coach. I mean, the amount of dollars that's being thrown around, it's insane. And it's really interesting because usually when people throw this kind of money around, they get their name on a building. Now they throw this money around and they probably lose in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Yeah. There's no return on investment. And these are smart people. And I know they're passionate and they may bleed that color, but it's already starting with donor fatigue. And what you're seeing, the beginnings are, I'll pay for this guy, but not for that guy. And that's where we're kind of at in these things. And so it's definitely going to be an interesting, and I just think, and also I wonder how much, I know a lot of false numbers too.
Yes.
Because people are inflating their value. And the school that's going to get guys, they don't care if it gets inflated because it makes their school look better. And the guy doesn't really care because it doesn't matter, but we'll find out when they do taxes. But the other thing is, the other part of that is, I think it creates they're trying to use it as bidding wars. So they say, I've got 700,000 from this school or 800,000 from this school. Well, you really don't. But you try and use that. Well, eventually that school says, you know what? My buddy's on that staff and he told me you only offered this much. It's like, well, and then it becomes, you know, you can't trust him and it becomes just a bad situation. It's wild. And I think it's interesting to see all the people that aren't in the portal yet that we are told are going to be in the portal still over the next 2 weeks. And that's a large number. And we've already got, 1,800 kids in the portal. So here we go. We still may get another, you know, 200 kids in the portal and some really good ones.
You know, I like the portal, but, you know, now, you know, that it's really benefited Illinois. But I'm starting to have some concerns. And here's some of my concerns. And, Brad, you mentioned it. say you go to a donor and you ask that donor for $500,000 every year. I mean, what are they getting out of it? I mean, what are you really getting? Because you can only go to that donor so many times. That's the one. That's one of the issues I have with it. The other issue I have with it, and I know a lot of people may not agree with this, I'm not a fan of having kids being able to transfer whenever they want. I remember a couple of years ago when this was first being talked about, Illinois Athletic Director Josh Whitman, you know, he was okay with it, but I liked his philosophy. You get one time. You know, if you don't go to, because you go to a school, you know, if it don't work out, you don't say, hey, you know what, it's what it is. I want to be able to go. But this, I mean, like, the reason I'm bringing this up, Jaden Epps started at Illinois, went to Georgetown, now he's in the transfer portal again. And then for the people out there say coaches get to leave, they don't leave every year. Yes, they get to leave, it's every 3 or 4 years, but not every single year. I think it's too much. I don't know. This is going to go south. I think I understand it because there's so many lawsuits. But this is probably going to hurt the game of college basketball at some point if they don't police this. And for the people listening to our podcast, some of these numbers you see on the internet, they're fabricated. They're just not very realistic numbers. People aren't paying $1.5 million, $2 million for college basketball players. That's just not happening. Will it happen? Possibly, but that's not happening right now. Don't believe everything that you read on the internet when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, I got a few thoughts on that. First off, as we've talked before, you look at the heights and weights of WWE superstars, they add an inch or two or three on height and they add 20 to 30 pounds on weight. And no wrestler is going to say, no, I'm shorter than that, or I don't weigh that much. So ultimately, I think this is the same as the numbers that we're hearing. I do think the interesting thing that Brad talks about that people listening to don't really understand, but the basketball fraternity is incredibly small. You have, of course, you have the coaches who all know each other. They go to conventions together. They sit next to each other at AAU tournaments. If you haven't been to an EYBL tournament, go. You'll see all the coaches sitting together. People who supposedly hate each other are sitting there and watching. So I as you know, like right next to one another and talking and laughing. So it's a very small fraternity. If you think you're going to pull something on these coaches, they can call up friends, as Brad said, and double check you. And I think the other thing, and this is what Josh Whitman, the athletic director at Illinois, has been saying for three years now, is he talked about how college sports would probably go the European model where different conferences might have slightly different rules, and then they'll play a big tournament together like they're doing in football to see who the best team is. I think because of all the lawsuits the NCAA is losing and their inability to do something new, I think they will fail at getting an antitrust exemption because Congress can't do anything. And then that means that the conferences will have to find a solution. I think it will be some sort of agreement that they're employee athletes, no longer student athletes, but employee athletes. And then what you will see is you will see contracts being, you know, templates being put out there and a percentage of revenue being shared. NIL money will still be important. But I will say this, and Brad, you and Ked can give a comment on this. But if you're a person, let's say you run a car dealership, you know, it's Sturdy and Prince, you know, you guys have your own Lexus dealership, and you're asked to pay $1 million, well, say $500,000 for an athlete, and you know that they're making $500,000 this year. And now they want you to pull money out of your pocket so they can make another $500,000. Your name isn't going anywhere. You may not win a national title. Nobody's going to know you donated. And if word gets out, you're going to have customers who are like, hey, look, man, I'm trying to get another $1,000 off of my car and you can pay 500 grand to athlete A. I think this donor fatigue is real. And as the NIL organizations get brought inside of the university, as they are trying to do, you're going to see more transparency, and your donors are going to now, as businessmen, kind of be held accountable for some of the money they donate. I think there's going to be some problems within 2 years, even if the majority of the money turns out to be a revenue share from television.
Well, and I think we do have to get into some sort of revenue sharing. I think that's the only, you know, possible way this can continue, because there is so much money to be thrown around. And, you know, if you can have a, you know, part of that money being shared with the players, I think that makes a lot of sense, because that's really where the money comes from. And then I think, you know, the other part about it is I've said this many times, they blew it 30 years ago, you know, 30 years ago when they didn't allow them. You go back to, remember UNLV, Greg Anthony selling t-shirts. So it was like, couldn't do it. Violation. Got to pay back. That was stupid. Just let them do it. And that was the thing. If they'd have let those things happen, let them get a percentage of jersey sales, all these things, we wouldn't be where we're at right now. And so that's my issue. And I don't think the NCAA would be as toothless as they are at this point. So, but yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, there is going to be a time period when it just doesn't work anymore.
My take is, I think you have some schools, I'm going to use Alabama football, they will pay the money. They will. Some of these schools, you look at a Michigan, Alabama, Ohio State, where they know they want to be number one, you're going to have those people. There's so much money in some of those places where I don't know if the resources will dry up, because if they keep it the same, if they don't get it from Prince, they're going to get it from Sturdy. They don't get it from Prince or Sturdy, they're going to get it from Cagley, because they want to be on top. Some of those programs, they are who they are. They're the big boys, and they're going to continue to do it. I don't quote me on this, but maybe you guys may remember this, but I remember when the NIL first came out, and the reason I mentioned Alabama, I thought there was a donor who gave a vehicle to every football scholarship football player, and they all received money or something like that. That's tough to compete. If you're like you're a Northwestern or University of Iowa, you know, or Wisconsin, you're not going to be able to compete with stuff like that. It's just not going to happen. But the big boys, they are going to continue to do it.
Yeah, I think there's some challenges. And certainly, I don't think that Alabama or Ohio State is going to say, well, gosh darn, everybody gets the same revenue share, so I guess this really good linebacker is just going to go to University of Illinois. They're going to find the donor, and they're going to put together an NIL deal that will be very aggressive and see if they can get that kid to come, because they want to win. But I do think that donor fatigue that Brad has been warning about is going to become a reality, and it will be very interesting to see exactly where that goes. So now let's pivot a little bit, because this was a big day today. Kylan Boswell out of Arizona, who obviously a kid who has roots in Champaign-Urbana, is going to be a Fighting Illini next season. Comes off of a sophomore year where he played at Arizona, you know, 26.9, so 27 minutes a game. Had a 37.9% three-point percentage and averaged 9.6 points a game, along with 3.6 assists. You know, you're looking at a kid that really doesn't turn the ball over much. They finally have the point guard that's been so elusive. Brad, you want to talk a little bit about what Kylan Boswell will mean to this Fighting Illini team come next November?
Kylan Boswell is a great add for Illinois. I think he's really important, because he's a guy who can play point guard, but also he's a guy who doesn't have to play point guard. So if you do end up using let's say last year they used, you know, Marcus Damask as kind of the facilitator, and they had him do all the, creating through booty ball, whatever. Boswell can space and shoot threes. So what that does, that creates a guy who can space the floor. The other thing that he is, obviously he's a very good passer. We know that 3.6 or 3.9 assists, whatever he had this year. But the other thing I like about Boswell is that he's also a very good defender. You know, people think that he's, because he's a little thicker, he's not as quick. He's got very good moves laterally extremely well. Now, and so if they did not have a guard defender outside of Terrence Shannon last year. It was a sieve. I mean, and so they could not guard people. Now they have a guy who can guard. If they can get Sincere Harris back on there, you actually have two guards who can get after people and do some things defensively that could help them. Now, the other thing about Boswell is that he does have issues. We know that he's had some issues off the court, maybe training not as well as he should be. We saw there's the video going around of him, you know, late night casinos, drinking, whatever, because he is in college.
Yes.
And that's what kids do when they're in college. But so I think we have to, but he understands that he's
still do it too.
Well, they do. They do. We don't care as much about them though. Right. So, but I think the thing is that you've got a kid now who understands where he needs to be. Getting him with Fletch, I think, can add some elevation, add some quickness, add some explosion to him, and lean him up a little bit. You know, it's just 5 pounds, 10 pounds, something like that. But it's more like you're converting him. Just make himself a little bit leaner and look more like a basketball player instead of like a, you know, a fullback, you know. And I think that is going to be important for him to get to that next level from a quickness or leaping standpoint. I mean, not saying he's ever going to be jump out of the gym guy, but he's just a really good basketball player. He knows how to play. He needs to get a little better in ball screen situations, but this is a guy who's really, really talented with the ball in his hands.
Well, Brad, I'm going to add another guy to your Spencer Harris and Colin Boswell. Drayvon Gibbs-Longhorn, his defense is just really improved. That's another guy. Here's my thing that I like about Colin Boswell. Number one, it was the worst kept secret in the world that he wanted to come home. But what I like about Kylan, this is not a knock against Arizona because, you know, didn't cover Arizona, but I did watch him play because I watched college basketball. I mean, I think the 9 points a game, I think that's, I don't want to say deceiving, but I know he's more than capable of putting up bigger numbers. And I think the Illinois staff knows that. They really pursued him hard, that, you know, when he was in high school. I can tell you, and, you know, Brad, you know this as well as I do. When I say they went in all 5 years to get this kid in high school, they put in, if it's 5 years in the stick ship, they put in 14 or 15. He's a kid that they really identified. And once he got in the portal, as soon as, you know, they found out, they went after him. And he's a guy that I think that can really, really help them stretch a defense. But he's also strong. I mean, he's, you know, he's listed at 6'2". I don't know if that's fabricated with his shoes on. But he is a really, really strong guard. Even though he's not 6'4", 6'5", you know, you're not going to be able to put him on the block and post him up because he is a, you know, a thick, strong kid. And, you know, I like the fact that he can, like Brad mentioned, he can also play the one and two. That's going to be key. And it's also, from that position, it's nice because you had not Illinois fans or people who are alumni, you've not seen a guard that's going to be able to put the ball in the basket like that from the guard position, because now it's going to be a different look and the scout's going to be different. The team's going to be different, which we'll talk about as well here, but he's going to give them another dimension. And it's nice because, you know, one of the reasons he wants to come back home, for the fans who really want to know, you know, Illinois done a really good job of letting players be themselves. And there's not so much control and chaos within a system. Kids see that. And that's one of the reasons Colin Boswell picked Illinois. A lot of coaches will tell you, you're going to pick and run and do all this. He saw a lot of game film, I guess, within the last week of how Illinois did that. So these coaches can lie to you, but when you have proof, because Brad Underwood's been there 7 years, he can see how they get up and down the floor. You know, one comment I heard was that they laughed because you saw Brad getting up off the bench multiple times, yelling them to run the ball off the court, and that shows that they want to run. Players like to play fast. And I think that's going to benefit him.
You know, there's times when I see him, I almost think of a 2-inch shorter Bruce Douglas, because he's got the thickness and the ability to leverage people. Now he can't go in the post like Bruce did, but boy, you know, Bruce was a guy who could do that. He might, and Kylan obviously has a little bit better shot than Bruce had at the time, but I do think that is a big opportunity for the Illini to get that elusive point guard that really they had hoped they had gotten in Sky Clark. And of course that turned out to not be the case. And of course the pursuit of people last year in the portal, like Ray J. Davis, didn't end up happening. There's a lot of competition for the top players in the portal. And it was nice to see Illinois grab him. Now this weekend, there is another visitor, and we will let's talk about Casey Booth, the Notre Dame. He just got done with his freshman year, looking to come aboard some school as a sophomore. he averaged, you know, this year for Notre Dame, ended up at almost 20 minutes a game and 6 points a game, and also had, you know, a total rebounds around 4 a game. So we got a guy here who has the ability to play the power forward position, 6'10", got a lot of athletic ability, but very thin at this point. You see the obvious connection that maybe him and his people have made, that Fletch could help put the weight on and put that 6'10 body and that athleticism with another 15 or 20 pounds, and now you're cooking with gas. Brad, what did you hear about what do you think about that, Casey? And then what did you hear about the visit this weekend?
Yeah, well, it's Kerry, Mike.
I'm looking at the review.
Yeah, so, but he is a, the one thing I'll say about him, he had a very good visit. I think that he, you know, weighing a lot of things, he's got so many schools after him because he does have a lot of potential. Question becomes, like, I'm not sure how ready he is to step in and be like an impact guy this year. After a year in the weight room, I think then he could really step up. But he did shoot 30% from three. The interesting thing about him is he's a power forward who took 118 threes and 74 twos last year. So, you know, he's a floor spacer. He can be a very good shooter. But the other thing about him that I really like about this kid is, although he's only 203, I think if he gets up to 220, 225, he's a very good rebounder. He had a defensive rebounding rate of 20.9, which means he's getting, you know, more than one of every five defensive rebounds on the floor. So that's a very good number for him. Now, the other thing about it is he has a block percentage of 3.5%, which is good. So at 6'10", if you get him to 220 with his skills and things, he's an NBA talent. And that's kind of what people see from him. The problem is he's probably not going to be an instant impact guy. I think he can play. Don't get me wrong. I think he can come in and play. But he's not a difference maker right away. I mean, he's more like a role guy first year, and then he might be really, really good in that second year after you're with Fletch. He had a good visit. He's got all kinds of school. I was told that Alabama's obviously very deep. They really want him. But he's also had, I mean, it's not just Alabama that's reached out to him. We got Texas, and they go down the list. I mean, everybody, because this kid does have huge potential down the road. Now, the question becomes, and I think this is all of our questions, what happens if he comes in? Does it mean somebody else leaves? How does it all fit together? And that's where Illinois kind of got a thing. And then they've got another power forward, Xavier Amos, who is from Northern. So if he comes, you know, if Booth doesn't come, then do you move on to Amos and try and get him? And, you know, we'll just have to kind of see how it all plays out.
My big thing was when they went out to Booth was I was looking at the numbers too. I'm thinking, you know, there's a possibility, not certain yet, that Coleman comes back. I know we talked off the air about you got Marez Johnson, you got Imani Hansberry, you know, now it's, you know, things change daily. So listening to this podcast right now, to, you know, 20 minutes from now, you know, there could be four of those kids in the transfer portal or whatever. But as a player, that's the one thing I think that's probably attractive with him, is that his NBA potential. You know, the days of looking at a guy that's averaging 25 or 30 a game and, you know, 15 rebounds is, you know, is going to get you an NBA, that's not how it's played anymore. They look at a guy that's long and, you know, they can put some weight on him and he can do a lot of things. If you look at his body, if you're an NBA guy and you watch NBA basketball, you can see that. We've talked about the same thing with Coleman Hawkins. So that's probably the big thing. And you're right. But I think it's going to be hard for a kid like that, knowing the fact coming out of high school, there were so many NBA, you know, scouts, you know, interested in him coming to a school and not being able to play. Because he, you know, let's face it, the NBA doesn't like players to be old. They just don't. So the same thing with Kylan Boswell. I didn't mention that earlier, but I'm going to tell you, Illinois fans, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be there a year or two or not. This kid had a lot of he had a lot of NBA scouts looking at him coming out of high school as well. So, you know, for Booth, that's got to be the right fit. You know, and I know at one point last week, I'm 100% sure that Illinois at one point was probably the leader, or if not one of the top two places of his next destination, because of the ability to allow him to shoot the ball and put the ball on the floor the way Coleman Hawkins did. He's been shown that. So that's why Illinois is attracted to him.
Yeah, it seems to me that Illinois has a really easy way to recruit. You just put in a film of Coleman Hawkins and say, you want to do this? You want to have opportunity to do that? We actually have done it, and we're not having to make anything up. You can see it right here. Brad, is there any type of timetable that he is looking with this many people? I know that it's a quick decision, but has anybody heard a timetable for when he wants to pick a school?
When he left, he was there Friday and then left Saturday morning. Boswell actually stuck around, I know, on campus on Saturday. So, but I think he wants to either see something else and kind of make the right decision. Last year, what happened to him at Notre Dame, and I think this is the concern that they have, just kind of secondhand what I heard, not from the Illinois staff, but from someone else, was that they saw Illinois, he does not want to play the five. You know, and which makes sense at 203 pounds or whatever he ends up being. If he's 210 or 215, that's 6'10". He'd be in the same boat that Coleman Hawkins ended up being, playing a guy that he's just not got strength with. So I think sometimes these guys may want to see Illinois grab a five man before they jump on board. So I don't know. And I know the sell has been, you know, they can play Merez and Amani at the five. Amani's really a four. But he can play five. You know, I guess you could rotate, invert those guys. You have five guys that can space. I don't know. We'll have to see how it plays out.
I think it's going to be tough if you're going to play Merez at the five, to ask a true freshman to come in into the Big Ten, not just as a freshman, but to compete against 22 and 23-year-olds and do well. I agree. And I don't blame Booth for that, because it would be a concern. It was a concern for Coleman Hawkins, and he's been here for 4 years. I do think they need a five. And I think, you know, Dane left, and, you know, those no sense of crying about spilled milk, he's gone, but they need a rim protector as well. So, you know, and I know the numbers with all the kids we just mentioned, the players that we just mentioned, but that's going to be a key ingredient. Now, we can sit here and talk about all the wings and, you know, guards all we want, but if you look at the two teams that was in the Final Four, they both had a dominant big.
Yeah, and that of course is not that easy to find, but yes, I think that finding a five would be very nice, and you can certainly understand why a taller but lighter power forward would want to see if there's a five on the team, because they could see who would be playing the five. And there's also films of that. So you can show them Coleman Hawkins on the offensive end, and that's very appealing. You can show them what Coleman was kind of asked to do on the defensive end, and that's not quite so appealing. Mm-hmm. Now,
defense, what are you talking about? I didn't see anything. We lost that film.
Playoffs. Defense. Now we've got another visit going on. Dante Maddox Jr. out of Toledo, and he is coming. And what's Brad? You can talk a little bit about how many years he has left. 2 years at Cal State Fullerton, 2 years at Toledo. But really, you know, this year was a breakout. 15.6 points a game. You know, he's a guy that shot 40% from the three, 86% from the free throw line. Has the ability to get some assists. Is he a point guard? Is he a lead guard? Is he a shooting guard? Where do you put him? And, you know, what are your thoughts on Dante?
Well, I think he's definitely he's more of an off the ball player. He can play in ball screens. He's actually not bad, but he's not a true point. But he doesn't turn the ball over. He can't handle the ball, but what he is, he can shoot it. This dude can shoot the ball. Career 41% three-point shooter on 424 attempts in his college career. That kind of gives you an idea. He's a very efficient offensive player because he doesn't turn the ball over. You know, defensively, he has some work to do. He's only 6'2". I think that's one area where Illinois is going to have to work with him. But he has the capability to be a good defender, but that's not maybe his forte. But he can handle the ball. If he's your secondary ball handler, you're in a really good spot. I think the other thing is, as you're looking for shooters to space the floor, this is a guy who can totally space the floor. And he also can shoot. If you watch his highlights, he can shoot on the move. So he's not a guy who has to be stationary to shoot. And that's a big deal. You remember off remember Alphonso Plummer, the way they could run him off screens and get him open easier. It didn't have to be a play where somebody had to penetrate and kick. He could run off screens and catch. He's never been a guy who's a high usage guy either. He doesn't require a ton of usage to be successful. But I could see him sliding into a role more like he was maybe his, I don't know what year it was, his, not this year at Toledo where he had a more bigger role, more like he was at Toledo the year before if he moves to a high major, where his usage is lower, but he's even more efficient. He shot 45% from three, 52% from two, got to the line a little bit, but he's attacking closeouts, able to do things like that. And I think that's where you could see him in a role at a high major. And he's one of the most efficient players in the MAC. So now I will say that the MAC is not known for defense. So, but, you know, we saw other guys who were good there transfer up and do well. One, Ray J. Dennis would be one of them. So this is going to be he would be a wonderful add. He's at Louisville, you know, Saturday and Sunday, and then coming to Illinois on Monday, and then has a trip to Xavier planned on Wednesday. So, yeah, I think Illinois won't have the biggest NIL offer. They won't have the most playing time. But of the three teams, he's going to have an opportunity to maybe be on the best group if he comes to Illinois. And is that a sell for him? He says it is, but we'll see what happens when push comes up. Ked, actually, you talked to him a little bit. What are your thoughts?
I talked to him. I was going to say, I talked to him, and I'm going to tell you, when I spoke with him, because he's an Illinois kid, he really likes Illinois. I'm going to tell you, I know kids are going to tell me what I want to hear, but I'm telling you guys, I really, really think Illinois put themselves in a good position. My stance on him was a little different. I mean, this kid, we just talked about Kylan Boswell. This kid can score. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's why Brad Underwood is being paid a ton of money to decide. But this is just my opinion. I don't know how you're going to keep a guy like that off the floor. He can score. And the thing that I like about him is, you're right, he is strong enough and he can come off screens. Scoring is not going to be an option. It won't be an issue for Illinois next year if they can land this kid. That's number one. Because I'm sitting here thinking that if you have both of those kids in the backcourt at the same time and both of those kids are 6'2", they're going to punish a lot of defenses, especially if you got guys in the middle that can score or a wing that can score. That's what I like. I mean, and I'm telling you, I mean, I don't know if they're going to do it or not. I hope he has a much bigger role than what Justin Harmon did. I think this kid's a bucket getter, and I think they know that. But Mike, to answer your question, I really, really think, you know, unless Louisville, which is not the best program in the world to me right now, and Xavier doesn't scare me either, Illinois is attractive because it's home. You know, one of the things I had a conversation about with Jeremy Fears, whose son Jeremiah committed to Illinois, he challenged me to go look at all the top players in the country. And all these kids who used to leave the state, they're all staying home now. He was like, Ketter, go look at the 2024 class. Look at the 2025 class. These players aren't one, they don't want to leave anymore. A lot of it, he said, was because of NIL. It's an easier sell to sell in the state of Illinois, a kid who you know, versus giving it to somebody outside the state. So he mentioned the fact of being home and, you know, going to Chicago or wherever, it is a little bit easier. So, you know, he gave me a homework assignment. I've not looked at it, but he mentioned a lot of kids from Georgia, Florida. These kids aren't leaving. They're staying home.
Well, we can keep reminding him that Illinois is closer to home. Keep him on the straight and narrow. So there, I guess the other question that comes up in a lot of fans' mind is AJ Storr. We heard a lot about him early in the process. Is Illinois still in the hunt with him? And if let's say he's fallen back a little bit, who out there on the wing is comparable to AJ that Illinois could go to?
Well, I think Illinois is still in a little bit on AJ Storr, but I think they've told him what they're willing to offer, where they're at. And Storr is, throughout this whole process, they're trying to maximize their NIL, right? I mean, and you know, that's what they're looking for. And I would say that, you know, probably this is where we'll see what happens, but does he have the offers that they say they have? I don't know. And I guess that's our that's going to be the question that we go through and we'll figure out and how it all plays out. But I don't right now, I wouldn't expect him to end up there, but you just never know. And that's where, and I think that's where we're going to have to kind of play wait and see there. Now, as far as other guys that are out there, we know that, you know, Jonnell Davis from FAU is a guy that everybody seems to like. The problem with Jonnell Davis is he's been offered $1 million from Louisville, supposedly. I know that, you know, they were talking to Roddy Gale a little bit, but of course he was a, you know, Chester Frazier guy. Selton Miguel was a Chester Frazier guy. You know, so those are all Odigo away, another Chester Frazier wing. More, these are all the guys behind Storr. But I think there's going to be other guys who end up portaling later on. And so that's why you got to kind of be a little bit patient and just kind of wait and see how it all shakes out. Because there's going to be other guys who maybe don't aren't in there. Or they're in the NBA draft right now. They don't like what they hear, or they haven't even entered the portal yet. And so that's where we're kind of at, and just kind of have to be patient and let it play out, I guess, is our favorite phrase.
Mike, this one's kind of hard for me, but I have to look at your face and Brad's face, and I have to be professional about this because you're asking about AJ. I will say this. I feel bad for the kid. That's number one. I really and truly feel bad for the kid because sometimes, you know, family members or people in your circle, your camp, whatever you want to use, sometimes they're just trying to take advantage of situations. I'm not saying that's his case. But from all everything that I've heard, he's a really good kid. And I'm not going to sit here and lie to our listeners. The kid wants to be in Illinois. He wants to be in Champaign. He wanted to be there last year. Sorry, Wisconsin fans. I know you don't like hearing that. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to keep it 100. He really did. And I would never say the door is closed. But you know what? I think you can hear the squeaks in the door, if that makes any sense. Because, and it makes me sad because a kid that wants to be home, and he's a highlight reel. When you talk about highlight reels of all time with Illinois, you think of Kenny Battle, Kendall Gill, and Terrence Shannon Jr. I think this kid would have been that fourth kid because he's a freak athlete, and he's improved his shooting. He's a strong kid, and he has good court demeanor. He's just a good athlete. He's one of the best transfers out there. Hopefully that this can work out. To answer your question about who's a replacement, my answer is they're not in the transfer portal yet, and I'll leave it at that.
Well, and the interesting thing is, and first off, look, if you don't know you're going to make it in the NBA, and let's face it, that's not a given for anybody except maybe 5 or 10 guys every season. I understand wanting to maximize your NIL money, because at the end of that 4 years, if you come out of school and let's say you've saved $500,000, think about how different our lives would be had we had $500,000 coming out of college. You know, you buy a house and you can live in a nice house and have a nice car and pay for it in cash and not have any payments. You get that first job and you can build your savings or however you want to strategically do it. At the same time, I also feel sorry for the kids because already one time he kind of wanted to go to U of I, didn't work out. And now you're going to be forced to make that same play again. And that's the part where you just feel sorry. Now, I'm not saying anybody's doing anything wrong, but you do feel sorry for the kid who just wants to play basketball and they've got a place they'd like to play.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's tough. And at the end of the day, everybody's probably going to be fine. You know, nobody's going to get hurt here. But I also just think Illinois does need a scorer. He is a scorer. He's a creator. He can get to the rim. And so he's a good fit if he can find the right thing.
And that's so key because he can put the ball on the ground and he can get to the rim, which, you know, people forget what a threat. And not that they forget, but Terrence Shannon got to the rim and he caused defenses so many problems. And you can't just spot shoot and put that type of pressure on a D.
And he does. And he's that guy. You know, for you people out there, you want to you get on YouTube and you look at some of his highlights, he can put pressure on the defense. There's a couple dunks. One was against Maryland. I think I watched it 10 or 15 times because I cannot believe what I saw. This kid is really, really good. And, you know, he was a guy, if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, you know, this question, I would have told you it was probably a done deal. I'm going to be honest with you. I really would have told you that. But, you know, I still hope there's a chance because I think the Illinois fans who are listening to this podcast, you want a kid like this. If you didn't see him play other games only against Illinois, again, get out there and watch because he is – I think they need that alpha. And he's that one guy that could just go over there. He's not a vocal guy. Terrence wasn't a vocal guy. But he's a game changer to me.
Well, and we'll see how that goes. You know, like you said, it's never over until it's over. But boy, we would love to see him in the orange and blue. But everybody's got to get along. So we'll see where that goes. Now, the other thing that Brad kind of brought up is some guys were Chester guys. And, of course, it hasn't been officially announced by either West Virginia or Illinois, but Chester Frazier appears to be going to West Virginia. Brad, that's obviously closer to home. Chester's a Baltimore guy. Can you talk a little bit about this decision and maybe, you know, where – the Fighting Illini staff goes, you know, to fill it. And I've got to think it's a lot easier filling an assistant coach role after coming off of an Elite Eight versus maybe in the past where the success wasn't there as much in the tournament.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you, you know, we start looking at assistant coaches and it's really hard to pick assistant coaches. Like, I mean, and like pick out who they're targeting, things like that, or who would be a good fit. You know, we like to look at Illinois alums. That didn't work out so well, right? I mean, you know, so with Chester, I mean, you know, he was had a good run, but, you know, he's moved on. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. What do you guys – I'll tell you what, the big name that everybody wants, right, for Illinois is who?
Orlando
Antigua, right? I mean, he's the big yes. name.
That would be awesome.
But it seems like he's going to Arkansas with Cal. You know, obviously Illinois will make a play. Does he want to live in Arkansas? I don't know how the golf courses are in Arkansas, but I know he liked the ones in Champaign when he was here. So there is something to be said for that. And he's a great recruiter. Really good coach as well. Other guys, Adam Cohen from Xavier, Mike Menengay from Oregon. There's an assistant in Tennessee that I've heard name mentioned. A lot of names been thrown around.
Bruce Weber. So,
you know what?
Would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know, you're right.
It would be amazing.
If they would put it in a non-recruiting role.
Oh, my God.
It would be fantastic. Just doing game planning and scouting and just watching film. And
all the other coaches have to do is just show up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'd be because he is such a good
– Yeah. Like, I was half so joking. High. Yeah, half joking, oh, half
be,
not.
That's the kind of guy who would be fantastic because, you know, Tim Anderson's a fantastic recruiter. And how about Jeff Alexander? Kylan Boswell, he's got a commit from Jeremiah Pierce. He's getting a viz from AJ, AJ, I can't even pronounce his name now.
Thor.
From the kid from out, you know, Compass Prep or Arizona Compass Prep. He's out there, you know, number one player in 2025, supposed to have a business fall. Jeff Alexander's killing on the recruiting trail. You got Tim Anderson, who's always killing on the recruiting trail. You can give me a guy who can, you know, be X's nose and do scouting, and, man, that'd be huge.
Well, I'm not going to say who they're going to get. I will just say what I was told, that there's a lot of people who are interested, and it was going to be a good hire. I did hear that. And I would not be surprised because if you think Brett Underwood is going to be caught blindsided, it's not going to happen. It's a very attractive job, and, you know, it's out there. They pay well. You know, Illinois, Brett Underwood is one of the top eight highest-paid coaches in college basketball. The assistant coaches are being paid well. I would love to have had Jamal Walker back, but Brad told me, I didn't know this, which I'm surprised, that he went to Ohio State. They're going to get somebody really, really good, and I would love for Orlando to come back. He's one of my all-time favorites ever to come through that, you know, to walk that court down there, but it's hard to say. But I do trust that they're going to get somebody really, really good, somebody who has to fit well. That's a part of it. You got to have the right fit because you guys are together a lot. Coach Underwood, he travels with different coaches when they go recruit, and that's going to be the key of it. Brad is definitely, he understands, you know, coaching is great, but you have to have some really, really good players in. I can tell you this, little bird told me once in the last 7 days that Brad Underwood got a taste of that final weight, and now he's very thirsty. He really wants to get back. So the next coach they're going to get, I can assure you, they're going to have some recruiting ties as well.
Yeah, and it's A.J. DeBanza, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. And boy, oh boy, would that be a lot of fun to have the number one recruit in 2025 coming in to Illinois. One of the few things Illinois has not had is a successful one and done. That would be a nice little piece to check off the list, and maybe a national title too. That would be even better. So the one thing that I put on Twitter, it may be true that Chester leaving may be good for the Illini staff, and it may be good for Chester. So I think, and it could be good for WVU as well as Illinois. So sometimes change is a good thing. And we all wish Chester fantastic good fortune as he moves forward. The only time I won't root for Chester is if his team is playing the Illini.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Chester's great. Obviously I've known Chester since he visited back in 2004. I think it was 2004 when he was shooting it in State Farm Center, well, Assembly Hall back then. And yep. I remember I was on the sideline while he was shooting some threes and stuff. That was my first interaction with him, obviously. And then, of course, he was here as a grad assistant, and then he left, went and played a little bit, and then came back and, you know, worked for Coach Weber, worked for Virginia Tech before coming to Illinois. So, obviously, known him for a long time. I think he's great. Great guy. I think he's a fantastic young basketball coach. I think he's going to be really successful at West Virginia. I think it's probably a better fit for him because all of his contacts being on the East Coast. He can bring a lot of kids from that Baltimore, D.C. area. And I think how many guys bring guys from Baltimore, D.C. area to – I mean, he brought guys from – he brought Epps, he brought Hansberry, he brought Sincere Harris from Ohio. He went out and got dudes from outside – the area. That's hard to do, to bring them into Illinois to play. And so that was impressive what he's done. Jace Butler was another one, you know, I mean, that was committed as well. So he did a great job recruiting, and I think it'll be easier for him in West Virginia to be, you know, more, you know, get more of kids from that region, you know, to come there. It's much closer to that East Coast. So yeah, good luck to him. I think Illinois is going to be fine. I think they're going to hire a good assistant coach to replace him, and they're going to be they're going to continue to win, because Brad Underwood, one thing we've found is over the last 5 years is this dude wins games. And at the end of the day, isn't that what you want your coach to do?
I think Chester's a blue-collar kind of guy. Look at the guys that you mentioned. Chester's an old-school guy, he's an old-school guy trapped in a young man's mind and body. He really wants to just go get three-star kids, build them up, make them better players. That's who he is. One of my, you know, as a player, I remember watching him play, but one of the things I really enjoyed was when he came back on staff this time. Brad, you were there. He got on the Zoom call with us, and when he got on the Zoom call, he started telling all of us, Ked, Brad, all the other guys, it's good to see you. He remembered us. And the one thing I want to give him kudos for, even when he was at Virginia Tech and Kansas State, he was constantly checking in on the Illinois program. So for the people out there thinking he's quitting on the program or his alma mater, Chester will still be concerned and be invested in this university. His heart's there. I just think at some point in time, Mike, like you mentioned, it's a different environment may be good for him. And, you know, the way he wants to go about doing it, I don't know if he's really big in the transfer portal. And if he still can go out and get high school kids, there's a need for him, because I watched the high school basketball game last night that was on national TV. So the high school scene at some point is going to come back into play. So guys like Chester are going to be valuable to somebody's staff, because you're going to have to continue to get them. Because like we said, beginning of this show, I don't know if that transfer portal is going to stay that way forever. And Mike, you mentioned a one-and-done guy. I'm going to tell you this. Jeremiah Fears was ranked 16th in the country, and the way he played the other night on national TV, a lot of scouts looking, and he may be one of those guys to be one and done. So the Illinois program's in a good spot. And you talk about guys that they're bringing in nationally and guys that they're bringing in transfer portal. You know, Kylan Boswell was a top 30 recruit, and when he was in high school, he was on NBA draft boards.
Yeah, and it would be nice. I mean, I don't mind if Illinois would put 2 one-and-dones in the same year. That would be cool as well. So we're gonna kind of wrap things up here. Ked, any final thoughts? And then we'll go to Brad, and then we'll close this one out.
IlliniGuys.com, and I'm going to say it to you again, repeat, rewind, back it up, Terry. IlliniGuys.com, because we are working our behind off, not just Kedrick and Brad, Mike, you know, Larry, Matt, we're all working our behinds off to give you all the updated information. And it changes. It changes daily. And when it changes, you go to our message boards, and I'm going to tell you, it's there. You ask people who don't subscribe, I mean, who do subscribe to us, they'll tell you it's there. So I'm going to close with that, because I'm not just going to give people nuggets out there when I know we know the inside information. Brian and I are really, really lucky and blessed to be in the position that we're in, and our job is to give it to our subscribers, and I just think it's going to be a really exciting week. I think it's going to be great. I think there are some players who are not in the transfer portal that you may be surprised about, that Illinois may lock up and put themselves in a good situation to land, so I'll leave it with that.
Yeah, I agree with Ked. There's going to be more kids into the portal. I think Illinois's got some things. One of the things that happens throughout this portal process, and we didn't really go into depth about this, we've done it before, but is there are back channel conversations, like the things come through someone like myself or Ked or somebody else or whatever, a AAU coach, a high school coach, say, hey, if this kid's thinking about portaling, would you guys have interest, things like that. You know, and so you're not talking to them, but, you know, these are things that happen, and it's just part of the process that's already happening. That's why Ked and I often know, and I'll tell you this, we often know who's going to portal before they portal, because we already know, oh, this guy's going to portal. Well, he's not in the portal yet. He will be. Just give it time. So these are things that happen, and, you know, so there's a lot of back channeling that happens, and there's even that's a lot of that's still going on. We still have over 2 weeks of portal entries still to happen. And here's the other thing to remember. If a person is a grad transfer, they can just transfer. They don't have to enter the portal. They can wait until after the semester and join. So keep that in mind as we're going through all this process. A person could not even be in the portal and just going to be graduating and decide, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to portal. And I'm going to transfer. And that's all they have to do.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you find out if you go to tournaments, and this is something that I've seen, you know, is when you go to a tournament, you start to meet the parents, because the parents are seeing who watches their kids. When you're in the crowd and you're wearing something like the Illini Guys or, you know, On Three or 247 or Rivals gear, people start looking and saying, well, where are you from? Who are you? And you get a chance to meet the parents. And then you look at Brad and Ked, who've been doing this for 20 plus years. You start getting an understanding of not only the players, but then you have to ask the coach to interview the player. So now you meet the coach. And then 2 or 3 years later, the coach has another good player. And you know, so you build these relationships. I have to be honest, I would not let my sons, had they been good enough to play, I wouldn't let them transfer without doing some back channels, because you don't want to be one of those kids who goes into the portal and when the music stops, you don't have a chair to sit in. So to me, that back channeling would be something that I would have done through my high school coach, through my AAU coach, or if I had the contacts as a father, I would approach people who maybe cover the team or, you know, peripheral people and try to figure out, is there an interest? Because I wouldn't want my kid to portal and potentially have coaches get upset at them for doing that if I didn't know there was a place they could go. So
I totally agree with you, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just, it's just a little bit different if you haven't been in that environment. So folks, We're really happy to have Ked and Brad take some time out of a Sunday evening to talk to you about what's going on. Remember, the names and the information will change this week, but we will try our darndest to keep you up to date. Go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the 7-day trial, give us a whirl. I think after 7 days, you'll find out that it's well worth it. You have to go back into the message boards and you start reading what's out there, and you will get all the scoops as to what's happening. And usually before it happens, there's a lot of things that we do not ever want to rain on a kid's parade. But if you can kind of read between the lines, you'll figure out what's going on. IlliniGuys.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know, be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info in recruiting. IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-485-8801. 800-485-8801. That's 800-485-8801.
Thank you so much for listening to the show tonight. We appreciate all the subscribers who listen to us. And certainly, if you want to subscribe to IlliniGuys.com, as well as this podcast, go to www.IlliniGuys.com, hit the registration button. You get 7-day free trial. Trust me, folks, you will be happy you are here. It's a great time of the year with Portal Combat. We also have spring football wrapping up. It's a fun time to be an Illini fan. And of course, if you can give us a 5-star rating, that would help us as well. Thank you so much to Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince for stopping by. We will be back later in the week as news permits. Go Illini!